Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So let me ask you, is it you two that are all natural and all pure ingredients, or is it like what you talk about? I'm just curious.
All of it.
Okay.
Everything.
All right. I just want to stay informed. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the dynamic duo of the gardening world. You know him, you love him, Doug Oster, everybodygardens.com. Both of these fine folks from the Tribune Review and Savvy Gardeners, where you can find out more about Jessica Walliser. Listen, we are going to get you started by telling you that if you're the 10th caller at 412-922-1020, you're going to win an amazing gift certificate from the folks at Sorgles. And if you call in at 866-391-1020, first come, first serve, you're going to have a chance to talk to Doug and Jess. So without further ado, here they are, Doug Oster and Jessica Walliser.
Good morning. I am Doug Oster from Everybody Gardens and the Tribune Review.
And I'm horticulturist Jessica Walliser.
Getting the itch to garden.
I think a lot of people are. I keep seeing, I saw something about, you know, it's I posted on my Facebook page, it's National Stay in Bed with Seed Catalogs All Day.
It is?
Yeah, they totally made it up, but they thought everybody should jump on board, you know.
There's
I think that sounds good to me. 23 degrees is a high today?
There's a day for everything. No.
Right? That is true. That is true. But I'm getting the itch to garden as well.
Even though we've had it easy. Yeah. We've had it so easy and been able to walk in the garden and plan. I love this time of year to plan, just to look at the bones of the garden and think, why did I put that there?
Mm-hmm.
Or where should that go? Or what should I do? But I can't wait for things to start sprouting. I heard people had snowdrops blooming. I was at the Pittsburgh Botanic Garden with a group, and some people had some snowdrops blooming. Mine, it's the hellebore, the Helleborus niger, the winter rose, and witch hazel. I think that's about all I have blooming that I can think of. But it's just nice to see it.
Yeah.
You know, that witch hazel that I'm growing, it's called Diane, and it has red flowers.
Oh, neat.
And so they're not spectacular red flowers. It's just that they're red flowers.
Well, and they're flowering in January, so that alone makes them special.
Yeah, well, it's awesome. Last year, the deer got after the buds, so they didn't get to them this year. And last year, I looked, it didn't bloom until February 11th.
Well, I think that those really warm days that we had recently probably encouraged it to open a little
earlier
than it usually does. So I do think it encouraged me to bloom, too. I don't have anything blooming in my garden right now. Not even my hellebores aren't blooming, but I do have so many shrubs with wonderful berries on them. And for me, this really is a great time of year for these type of plants to really shine. So under one of our spare bedroom windows, I have a whole bunch of winterberry. And the front of the bushes, the deer have eaten the berries off. But the upper part of the bushes are covered with these beautiful red berries. The beauty berries, which produce their purple, beautiful, really brilliant purple berries, are gorgeous this time of year. For the bird, you know, eventually the birds are going to raid them. What's interesting about those berried shrubs, which I read this recently, and this kind of floored me, was that a lot of times the birds will let the berries cling to the branches until we get a few good frost and thaw cycles, and that causes the berries to ferment, the freeze thaw cycle. And when the birds eat those berries, they actually get drunk off of that. Like they get like a, you know, a little happiness.
I wonder if I got any crab apples left.
You'd be out there eating the crab apples, and I don't think you should do that for human beings.
They always show up at 5 o'clock because it's happy.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
That's right. And there's like reports in the UK of birds doing this, like big flocks of birds coming into like large stands of buried shrubs and like flying into windows and stuff afterwards because they're so like discombobulated from the fermented fruit. I don't know. I thought that was really interesting.
Hey,
that's not why I grow
speaking of Australia, just let me get this in, and I'm glad you just mentioned that. What do you two think about this whole wildfire thing? That's just horrible what happened.
It is.
Oh,
it's
gosh,
very
I
sad.
Can't imagine all the wildlife and everything.
Do you ever get any of that back in a lifetime or no? I mean,
I hope so. Who knows?
Yeah.
Seen anything like it.
It's a huge, huge area. Like, just incredible.
Now they're having flooding over there and all sorts of things.
Yeah.
Real sad. Okay.
Yep.
You know, Jess, let me talk a little bit about the Mid-Atlantic Nursery Trade Show that I went to a couple of weeks ago. And I asked professionals, this was my idea, like, how am I going to make something good out of this, something different? What they grow in their fields that they love, you know, they like I love picking the brains of these plant people, like, but has never really caught on or wish they would grow it. And I talked to David Smith. He's the first guy I always go to at Mance because he's local. He's from Pikes Peak Nursery in Indiana, PA. And he came up with a tree that's really cool. And maybe you know it because I had never heard of it. Southwestern white pine. And it looks kind of like our white pine, only the leaves are, I mean, the needles are greener. And he said it's be a great Christmas tree, like an 8-foot Christmas tree. And it just has a beautiful form. And I was actually poking around talking to some other garden people, and they had never heard of it. And he'd been growing it for like 25 years out there. But he, like he said, the landscapers and the Christmas tree people, they just haven't caught on to it. So kind of a cool.
And it does, obviously, it does well here, even though it's from the Southwest.
Yeah. I mean, if it's growing in Indiana, Indiana County. Their nurseries in Penn, what is it? Penn's Run, Indiana, I think. Okay. I drove by it once, and I've talked to him. Every Mance I've been to in the last 10 years, he's the first guy I go talk to.
What did some of the other nursery folks say that they were their favorites?
Oh, let's see. There was a new holly called Dragon Slayer that does really good with wet feet. And this is a story I wrote, and I'm trying to think what else. There's a new sunflower out called Sunbelievable from Monrovia that they guarantee 1,000 blooms on.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
On a single plant.
He showed me pictures of it, like where they put it in front of a nursery. Yeah.
Is it an annual or a perennial sunflower?
It's an annual
sunflower.
Yep.
And what's the name again?
Sunbelievable.
Sunbelievable. It sounds sunbelievable. 1,000.
We guarantee 1,000 blooms.
I'll be counting.
Yeah. And I can't remember. There's a couple other things in there.
Where can I get seeds for Sunbelievable?
It's probably plants only. It's sterile.
Okay.
So it pumps all its energy into the, so you got to buy the plant from Monrovia.
Gotcha.
Now, okay. I actually saw them last year at Hahn. They had a bunch of them, but since it was so new, I don't think it went that well. I wish I would have.
Huh.
I wish I would have stuck some in the vegetable garden.
Super tall?
Nope.
Okay.
It's probably.
How can you have 1,000 flowers and it's not that
four
tall?
4 or 5 footer maybe.
Pretty big. So okay.
Maybe smaller.
Huh.
So. That's kind of cool.
Well, yeah.
And I want to talk
it's
about...
It's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. Mrs. Know-It-All, our Denise Schreiber, is offering her home gardener certificate course again, and it starts February 4th at 7 p.m. It's a science-based course that lasts 6 weeks. Besides all the great info you'll get from Mrs. Know-It-All, you'll get a great swag bag at the end filled with garden items, with tools and seeds. If you want to be part of... getting that home gardener certificate from Mrs. Know-It-All, you can send her an email. It's edibleflowers1@aol.com. Or give her a call. I like this. Between 9:30 and 5. Don't call me later than 5.
That's right.
Don't wake me up in the morning. Here's Mrs. Know-It-All's number, 412-736-0010. 412-736-0010.
Short break. We'll come back on the other side and get back to your phone calls on this edition of the Organic Gardeners. Tim in Lower Borough already waiting to talk to Doug and Jess. Got many lines open, so feel free to call 866-391-1020. And congratulations to Ed of Pittsburgh, winner of that $25 gift certificate from Sorgles. All right. Any other items of business before we go to the phones?
I don't think so.
All right. Here we go. Let's go to Scott Township and say hi to Jim. Jim, how you doing, buddy?
All right, Rob. I have a question here. I was out in a yard deer raking leaves, and the deer used my yard for a shortcut, and I never saw so many droppings. What do you suggest?
Well, you mean suggest as far as keeping the deer out of the yard?
Well, No. As far as what should I use? I mean, I never saw it so bad.
Okay, so you want to...
get rid of the droppings.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if you wanted to get rid of the deer or get rid of the droppings. That's the question. So
what? I know I'm not going to get rid of the deer.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. So, you know, you have to be really careful because there are some pathogens that are present in deer waste that can affect human health. So you have to handle it as if you were handling, like, cow waste or any other animal. You got to, you know, you should really ideally have a shovel that's dedicated just to the deer poop. And if you can, collect it and fling it in the woods somewhere or something like that. With that shovel, never handle it with your hands. You don't want to put it on the compost pile. You just get rid of it that way if you can, if you have that as an option. And then don't use that shovel in the vegetable garden or anything like that.
Yeah, but there's just so much of it. I mean, you know, it's been here before, but this year it seems to be worse than ever.
Yeah.
You got your work cut out for you.
If there's, you can just leave it go and leave it decompose in place. You know, eventually it will feed the lawn and all that. But, you know, you might get some bare patches in the lawn, depending on how big the clumps are. You know?
You say it'll feed the lawn?
It will, actually. Mm-hmm. You don't want it around food crops.
No, I understand that.
Yep, but if it's in the lawn, it'll just eventually break down and decompose and then release the nutrients down into the lawn. So, you know, you could even rake it out to kind of spread it a little bit so it's not in those big clumps. But again, whatever tool you're using to handle it, do not use it for anything else.
We're afraid of, like, chronic wasting disease and other things like
and
that.
And E. coli. Yeah. I mean, they can have E. coli. So anytime you're dealing with any manures like that, it's really important to be careful with how you handle it.
That's the same with the, if you're using animal manures in the garden too,
yes,
right?
Yes, absolutely. And in fact, for the animal manures in the garden, you really want to make sure that they're composted first, because you can get into issues with splash. You know, if you use manure in the garden, it splashes up onto a tomato and you eat the tomato, you could end up getting sick.
Right?
Yes, but it more important than the passage of time is the heat that it heats up to, which the heat is required to kill those pathogens. So that's why you want to turn it and, you know, ideally mix it with other ingredients in a compost pile. And who knows, you know, people are like, oh, it's horse manure and it's a year old. Well, the stuff on the outside of the pile hasn't been turned in. It hasn't gotten hot and it's where you get into trouble.
Yeah. Let's talk about some more plants with winter interest. You know, when we talked about winterberry, one of the best stands of winterberry is at Phipps.
Mm, oh, yeah.
Yeah, if you drive by Phipps, you want to see what winterberry does. And I actually had a reader, you know, send me a message saying, man, I saw those berries up there. Can I grow that at home? Like, you sure can. Winterberry, though, needs a pollinator, right? Needs a male.
Yeah, so it's a holly. It's a species of holly. It's just a deciduous holly, which means it loses its leaves in the winter. But all hollies have, each plant is either a male plant or a female plant, and they produce either male flowers or female flowers. Only the female flowers develop into berries. But in order to get that, you have to have a male plant for every probably about 5 female plants.
Within 50 feet, right?
Yep, within 50 feet, or else you won't get berry set on that. And so it could be at your neighbor's house. You know, it doesn't have to be like right there in with the other ones, but you have to have that ratio of male to female in order for there to be enough pollen around for the good berry set.
And there's a lot of different cultivars. You know, when I look through the Proven Winners catalog, you can see like little ones that get 2.5 feet tall to ones that get 6-8 feet tall.
Yep. And that's great because, like the ones at Phipps, if you're thinking about the same ones I am, they're really short. They're little and compact. And that is nice for somebody, A, who doesn't like to prune, or B, someone who just, you know, has it at the front of a porch or something where you really need to keep it low.
You know, actually, when you get up close to them, they're right about at eye level, those ones at Phipps, or have grown to eye level now. Because I was there just the other day and I was like, man, these things are taller than I remember.
Yeah. On the slope in the front. Is that what you're talking about? Yeah. And it makes such a neat impact in the wintertime. And they now have winter berries that actually produce orange berries,
yellow,
and apricot berries, and yellow berries, and even white berries. So you could get really, you know, get really a nice color display in your garden with those.
This is a good time, too, to be out in the garden looking at plants with winter interest. And I like things with exfoliating bark. You know, Heptacodium is one that I like. I never can remember the common
Seven
name.
Seven Suns
name. And oak leaf hydrangeas, paper bark maples.
The birches have really cool. Stewardia has a cool peeling bark. Yeah.
Shagbark hickory. Just give you good winter interest.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And not just that, but there's also a number of shrubs that actually have colored twigs. Red twig dogwood is probably among the most famous of them, where the twigs themselves are just this beautiful fire red, and they have varieties that are orange, varieties that are yellow, that even if there's no leaves on the plant, you still have this incredible winter interest. And what's great about the red twig dogwoods is they really are tolerant of very wet, poorly drained soils, which, you know, here in Western Pennsylvania, we have clay-based soils, and we can get these low-lying areas where it's hard to get things to grow. Red twig dogwoods, winter berries, both of those shrubs do really great in those types of conditions.
Have you made a decision on what you're going to do for next year's garden?
vegetable garden.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working on it. I'm working on it. I'd like to put some new beds in and build and put a new fence up that's deer proof. But you know,
you
all that costs money.
I know, but you got to figure out a way to keep those deer out of there. They are. You had all that, those greens and stuff at the end of the season. And
mm-hmm. I know you don't have to remind me of it. I'm still weepy inside about
when, when there's a little bit of snow on the ground, that's also when I go out in the garden because I want to see what is sneaking in and how it's getting in. Because the rabbits are always in there, yet I've got chicken wire all the way around. But they dig under, they find a little spot,
mm-hmm.
and so that's what I'm always looking for. You know, so, certainly the deer trail, just like you know,
so you're out there looking for footprints
glass. I just want to see if the rabbits are getting in during the winter and where they are, and mm-hmm. when it's all open and everything. Because we get to about June and it's just like all covered with stuff on the edges and I can't tell where they're getting in.
What would you do if you saw a bunny like climbing up over the fence to get into your garden?
Start screaming and dancing and yelling
run away.
I had one use the neighbor's trampoline
to get in.
Yeah, that was a long night. All right, listen, 866
a real bunny bouncer, huh? Mm.
You asked for it.
866. I know. That was good. 866-391-1020. Doug and Jess coming back with more of your calls right after this break and a news update. 10th caller right now wins a $25 gift certificate from Janoski's, and that number is 412-922-1020. Doug and Jess ready to go to work on the phone lines. Let's say hi to Jack in Chester, West Virginia. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning. Well, hey, I'm calling about, I sent some money to these Arbor Day people, and they're supposed to send me some fruit trees. My daughter was cleaning up my room here, and that paper turned up, and I see they're supposed to send me 10 fruit trees. So what I wanted to know was, do they have to be in the sun? How far apart should I plant them? And, you know, what kind of soil are they best planted in?
Yeah.
They tell me that.
Yeah, so those Arbor Day deals, you know, the plants will be really small when you get them because that's just sort of how they're able to pay to ship them and everything for the small price that they charge for them. So they'll
be small. Have you ever seen them? I mean, like little
whips,
6 inches.
Yeah, they'll be like little whips, probably a foot tall or something like that, plus a little bit of root system on the bottom. So they're going to be pretty small when you get to them. So you might want to grow them out in a nursery pot for the first maybe year or two to just give them, you know, get them established a little bit. If you don't want to do that, it is fine for you to go ahead and put them in the ground, but you're going to want to make sure you put some type of fencing or something around them to protect them from the lawnmower and the deer and things like that. So you're going to need to coddle them for a little bit. Full sun for sure. I don't know what type of fruit trees they are, but pretty much any type of fruit trees is going to want full sun.
And they'll probably have some kind of information on there as to how big they'll get, and that'll tell you how far to put them apart.
Mm-hmm.
Usually that, you know, because it could be a dwarf, it could be semi-dwarf, it could be full-size fruit tree. And when you do see those, that information, it's going to seem like, seriously? 10 feet apart. I mean, it's a little itty bitty tree, like, but eventually it's going to reach its genetic size. So don't think you can do it any closer.
Right. Exactly. Yep. Pay attention. I'm sure it'll come with guidelines on spacing and planting techniques. And average garden soil is fine. I would avoid really low lying areas because that can rot the roots out. You know, you don't want anywhere that's constantly sitting in water. But any, you know, Western Pennsylvania soils will be fine.
And, you know,
trees.
One thing about planting any tree, you can't, do not plant it too deep.
Yep.
That's probably the number one thing that people do that's wrong, you know, plant it too deep, and that's just going to kill the tree. So wherever it was planted, where you'll see those, even those little whips, there'll be bare root, where the roots, you know, I did a story about tree planting this year, and the guy said, it's not that hard. Roots in the ground, bark out of the ground. So, okay.
But it's hard to tell sometimes the place where the root system turns into the roots, the
well,
shoot
he was,
system.
He was
you
talking
know,
about
hard.
Big Christmas trees.
Oh, gotcha.
So,
okay.
A little different there, for sure. Little whips.
You can often see like a line of soil where they were planted in the field when they dug them up, and that's the same line of soil that you'll want them to be at that exact same depth when you plant them.
Next stop, North Hills for Doug and Jess. Here's Tom. Hey, Tom. Good morning.
About lemongrass. And I assume you buy it already growing in a pot, and then you plant it in your garden. And I'm wondering, I assume it's after the frost and everything, but does it spread? And once it starts spreading, can you cut it and then it comes back, you know, grows again, like maybe like chives would?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah. Okay. Did you have another question about the lemongrass?
Well, then at the end of the season, can I just take a shovel and dig a hunk up and put it back into a pot and bring it in the house and then keep going next year? Because
yep.
I assume it would get killed because of the frost and everything.
Exactly. Lemongrass is not hardy here, so it will not survive the winter. But you can overwinter the plant indoors, or a chunk of it, as you described it, indoors.
And probably known as a windowsill plant for the winter, right?
Yeah, you can do it. You want to keep it in bright sun for the winter time. You can grow it year-round that way. I wouldn't harvest from it in the winter, but you can be harvesting
right.
from it. I like to harvest the whole entire stalk. Each,
right.
you know, they'll grow in these clump of stalks, and you break each one off all the way down at the base.
Right.
And then that's the part that you use, that real woody part down at the bottom. But you can
right.
also use the end of the leaves if you want
right.
to dry them and use them as like an herbal tea.
I see. Okay.
You can do the outer part of the plant.
So if I bought one plant.
One? Yep.
Yeah, let's say if I bought one, whatever, they come in a pot, so one.
Mm-hmm.
How much would it spread?
They get huge, but they're clump formers. They don't spread, but they form a big clump. So if you have a pot, I would say at least 3 gallons, if not 5 gallons of soil.
Right. Would you say
for one plant?
Container plant or put it in the garden?
Either. You could
okay.
do, I've done both. But if you put it in the garden, like in an herb garden, give it room. Give it a lot of room because it gets pretty large even in one single season.
So if I wanted to use it in a recipe, let's say twice a week, how many of those plants should I buy and plant?
Well,
like how many pots should I get? Do
yeah.
you think?
So it would depend. If you're going to use it, you know, early in the season, then get a larger pot. Try to find
right.
one that's already in a 1 gallon pot, and you'll only
right.
need one. If
right.
you're going to be, you know, getting just a tiny little pot of it, like a 3-inch pot or something like
yeah.
that, then maybe get 2 or 3 of the plants.
What are you right. going to use it for? And just what do you use it for?
Well, I probably use it for like when I make stir fry and, you know, vegetables and, you know, things like that. Maybe
mm-hmm.
throw it into a salad.
Yep, I love throwing it in my stock. Whenever I make my own homemade chicken stock or turkey stock,
right,
I'll throw
right.
a couple of stalks of that in. It gives a little bit of a lemony flavor to it. And I also
right.
use it in herbal teas. One thing that I think is interesting that you might like to know is at the end of the season, before the plant dies from frost,
right.
you can
right.
go ahead and harvest all of the stalks off of that plant if you want,
right.
cut the leaves off, and pack them into Ziploc freezer bags. And stick
oh, okay.
them in the freezer, and then you can just take a few out and use them all winter long.
And you don't have to blanch them ahead of time?
Nope, don't blanch them. Just put them right in a big gallon zipper top, and then you can just take a few out at a time as you need them.
So when I was looking at new plants, there is a whole new series of caladiums. Caladiums are shade lovers for the most part, and they're foliage plants with beautiful red and green and speckled leaves, but there's a new series out called Heart to Heart that will take more sun.
Oh.
You know, I grow a lot of caladiums in pots.
Sure, because all your shade.
Yeah, all shade and with impatience, but they're thicker leaves, and so they've bred them to take more sun. And so that's kind of exciting for people. They're heart-shaped leaves.
They almost look like a little short elephant ear,
yeah,
but more
yeah.
colorful.
Yeah.
And some of them are just beautiful splotches and speckles and shades of pink and white. And you know what? Do you dig your bulbs up and store them,
mm-hmm.
your caladium bulbs?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't do that. And, you know, caladiums are not cheap garden plants. You know, you're going to buy them in a 6-inch pot. It's going to cost you some money to do that. But it's so easy to overwinter the bulbs. You would do it just like you overwinter. Do you do yours like you do your dahlias?
Yep.
I even do mine in the same box as my dahlias.
Yeah, I do them in vermiculite. Like we always say, everybody has a different way. They use peat moss, vermiculite, perlite even. You know, they use all sorts of different stuff to store them in. But I like mine in just a kind of a, not even moist, but just a little bit wet vermiculite
mm-hmm.
to store them with. In a big, like, Rubbermaid container with it, you know, in about 50 degrees, 60 degrees if you can get it.
Mm-hmm. And it's great because then you get them year after year and you can divide them. Like I know when I dug mine up last year, I had some growing in a container by the back door and I dug them up. And, you know, at the start of the season, it was one bulb and there were 3 or 4 bulbs in there by the end of the season. So now I'll have, you know, it's all the more merrier in this year's garden.
You know, if people could only see how you direct me to run this show. I mean,
no hand signals, just a turn, a look of the eye, do my eyebrows. It's coming to you, Robbie. Take it away, Rob.
Oh, so entertaining. I just wish I could find some entertainment value to all of this. Unbelievable. All right, short break. Oh, my goodness gracious. All right, we're going to take a break. Hey, we're going to be cooking with curry next hour. Do you know the origins of the seasoning curry, you guys being so smart that you are when it comes to leaves and trees and stuff like that?
Oh, I'm sure Jessica knows all about it.
Curry is a collection of – people think it's just one herb or one spice, but curry is actually a collection of different spices, and there's different kinds of curry.
Well, educate me a little bit here. I'm going to take an extra minute because I have to do a whole hour on cooking.
Well, so curry. Like Indian curry has turmeric. It has a lot of different sort of the Indian subcontinent spices that are native to there. But then there's like Thai curry, which they have a green curry and a red curry. And
Steph Curry plays basketball.
Bill Curry used to do sports.
Del Curry played for the Cavs. Good 3-point specialist.
Right. Another curry, but we won't mention that person because I'm not sure if they're still walking the earth. But it's Indian subcontinent. It's ginger, and it says it comes from, and it also has some chilies to it, and it's a leaf from the curry tree.
Mm.
Does that make any sense?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So there's different species of plants, but together, collectively, is what we know as curry, is a bunch of spices.
But one
together.
Thing I have noticed on my list that you can see here, it's like slow cooker chicken curry, easy chicken curry with vegetables, creamy in tomato curry, chicken masala, chicken chickpea curry. Do you only make chicken with curry, or what can you do with
curry? I love lamb curry, and I love like... In Thai curry, because I love Thai food. Thai curry, there's green curry, which is my favorite. We do shrimp and vegetables in green curry, and that's usually like a coconut milk base with that blend of spices to get your green curry or your red curry. And they all have different levels of heat as well.
There you go, cooking with curry. We'll be back. Yeah, Joe and Frank are in the building. They'll be in the studio right after news, top of the hour. But right now, Doug and Jess, one more segment of the Organic Gardeners on KDKA Radio.
So I don't know if many of our listeners know this, but about a year and a little over a year ago, I started a full-time position as an acquisitions editor with a big publishing company. And it has turned out to be a really great fit for me. But it's my first sort of full-time gig in a very long time. And so it's made my weekends very coveted time for my family because I don't get to see them so much during the week anymore. So as a result, today will be my last day on the Organic Gardeners. So the other thing that a lot of our listeners don't know is that I have spent 20 years on the radio with Doug Oster, 5 years at WIEP, and 15 years, 7 months, and 2 weeks on KDKA Radio. So I just wanted to thank Rob and thank Doug and thank all of our amazing production crew, news crew, the weather crew here on KDKA Radio for providing such a great home for me for 15 years. And so I'm grateful to our listeners. I'm grateful to all of our amazing sponsors, many of which have been with us for 15 years, 7 months, and 2 weeks. And I'm passing the reins over to Doug. And I hope they'll let me back in the door when Doug's out of town, and maybe I can come back as an occasional host for the show. But I'm leaving it in good hands, in capable hands, and we've had a heck of a lot of fun over the last 15 years, 20 years, and it's been a real pleasure being on here. But I think it's time. I think it's time for me to go back to focusing on family. I mean, people have been listening for a long time. They know I was pregnant with Ty when I first started this show, and he's going to turn 15 soon. So, yeah. Yep. Long time.
We love you, Jess.
Well, Jess, thanks for teaching me so much about horticulture and sharing all that information with our listeners. Thanks for accepting me as me with all the blemishes, and there are plenty of blemishes. But most of all, thanks for all the fun and the laughs. And just, this is the kind of chemistry that only comes around once in a lifetime. And it was just synergy between us. We were talking about it before we came on today, how we'd go to these Giant Eagle things sometimes, just have the name of a topic and be able to do 25 minutes on it, go back and forth, go to the next Giant Eagle, switch topics back and forth to who was saying what, and even switch the jokes around. I mean, it was just seamless and wonderful. And how, I don't know how I'm going to answer all the questions. What am I going to do? I mean, that's.
Don't look at me.
So just thank you. It was wonderful, wonderful working with you. And I'm going to miss seeing you every Sunday morning sitting out there in your car.
Right back at you. Right back at you. And it's you know, we've had some loyal listeners over the years.
Oh, yeah.
And it has been a pleasure seeing them out and about as well. And so thank you all for listening for all these years. And I hope, obviously, you'll continue to support Doug. And I hope that all of our great sponsors will continue to support Doug and the show. And Rob, you're a consummate professional. And I've so enjoyed working with you for all these years.
Right back at you. Okay. Come back.
We'll
hang
do.
Out. Spend time.
If they let me in the door, I will.
We will. Take us home.
Remember, the organic gardeners always aim to create a better place to garden
and a safer place to live.
News next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.